It is an honor to be here in Mission Sunday, First Baptist in Shelton. Carla and I have been backed up by this church for many, many years, over two decades, I think. And we have been seeing the work of the Lord in training in the Philippines through Asian Theological Seminary and the many graduates that have spanned out across the islands and all across Asia as pastors, as Christian counselors, as ministry organization leaders. And we are so blessed to see the work of God in this region of the world. And you have become very solid partners for us, both in prayer and your kind support. Thank you for the missions committee teams, Charles and company, for all the work that you're doing for missionaries and keeping us before the church body. Thank you for Pastor Jake and his passion for the lost that he carries through all throughout our congregation. And so I will not bore you with statistics this morning. There's a prayer letters out there in the foyer. You can look at them and then see what God specifically is doing, and then also continue to pray for us. But today I'd like to give a very strong challenge on missions, also under the theme for everyone, because missions is not just for special people, it's for everyone. And this morning, before you leave this sanctuary, you will find out that you, at whatever age, at whatever situation or class, whatever color, you can be God's vessel for his mission. Let's bring to the Lord his word first. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to your sight. I pray, Lord, that you will use your word to challenge all of us to the task that you have laid before us. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19. I know Pastor Jake has been working on the Gospel of Luke, so I tried to stay within that Gospel. You have heard the background that the pastor has given to us about Luke. Luke, as a Gospel writer, is very, very specific in terms of details. He makes the story really alive before us compared to the other Gospel writers. So I love Luke, and then of course his accompanying book, the Book of Acts. Just the first 10 verses here. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it four times." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Many interesting things in this passage that I'd like us to see, as I've entitled this sermon, Capturing the Moment of Encounter. And missions is all about that. It's not a geographical place. It's not a certain location in the globe. It's a moment. And when that moment is captured in any setting, even here within Shelton, you know, within the confines of your neighborhood, boom, you got missions going and taking place. No? But first off, we observe on this passage, first thing that we observe is the desperate search of Zacchaeus. No? This man, described as rich, had everything. I mean, everything he could wish for, he could have. He could have the latest iPhone, maybe. the latest Xbox, all the entertainment streaming, he could have it. And he because that description of the word rich is that he has everything in his command. No? And yet, at night when he sleeps, there's that aching, unexplainable aching pain that he feels in his heart. Something is definitely missing. And so this man, Zacchaeus, has become desperate. And he knew and learned probably about Jesus, and as much as many people around us too in our community have heard about Jesus. But he didn't know how to connect, how to make that contact with Jesus. And so Zacchaeus started to do his quiet search. However, in this quiet search, and there were hurdles that he needed to overcome. And specifically in the passage, three hurdles needed to be overcome. The first thing is that, according to the passage here, he was small in stature. Now, you don't say those words these days, okay? You don't tell a person, you are small, Rene, in stature. It's not politically correct. You need to say, Rene, you are vertically challenged. You're only 4 feet 11? How come? All the Americans, you know, are towering over me. So Zacchaeus was short, and so, or vertically challenged. And so every time, I'm sure in the past, trying to get into that moment to encounter Jesus, to no avail, because he couldn't see past the crowd and all the other guys who was just swarming around Jesus. So that is a limitation. We need to pay attention to those limitations. The other one is the tight crowd. It says because the crowd was thick on account of the crowd. I don't know what kind of crowd control the disciples are doing here, because we're missing Zacchaeus or people from the outside. I don't know whom they're trying to protect. Maybe they're trying to protect Jesus. And sometimes that's possible to do in missions and in churches and in organizations. We try to look into ourselves and protect our turf. Protect our key person, you know, or our church, quote unquote. You know. And so we try to look inside instead of looking out. And this is a very common mistake in missions, because sometimes we're too into our strategizing and into our analyzing and breaking down our logarithms and all that. But all you have to do sometimes is just to look out. And then the other hurdle for Zacchaeus is the fact that he has a certain reputation. You know, he's a tax collector. And a long time ago, and even until today, we don't like the IRS. I know some of you are trying to pay your taxes. How can it be so difficult, right? And so there are some, even especially in corrupt countries where the IRS are, or the revenue service are really thriving in full corruption. The same thing is here, true is here. And if the people see him anywhere, he has to be more discreet and not show himself too much. He could be lynched, because people are kind of not happy with this. There's a certain kind of hatred that has boiled in the hearts of people. Well, isn't it true that sometimes in our deepest heart, we have kind of, in a subtle way, cultivated a negative sentiment on certain kinds of people, where when we are near them, we feel a little bit uncertain. Our heart starts to palpitate, and we become nervous. Why is that? Some observers call it the phenomena called the implicit bias, where we are biased, we're not even aware of it, but we're biased with people who are different from us, you know? Different color, different size, different look, different smell. You know? It just throws us off. You know? So we need to capture that and ask ourselves, why do I feel this way? When Jesus loves, as the Sunday school children has learned, the little children, all the children of the world, black and yellow, black and white, yellow, whatever color, they are all precious in His sight. Right? It's a basic learning, you know, even in Sunday school. But Zacchaeus knew this, that people disdain His presence. So he has to be able to see Jesus without drawing the attention of the crowd. So those are very powerful hurdles. And for us as missions involved in the work of bringing the gospel out, and again, this is not just me and Carla, but everyone, all of us here in this auditorium who has known Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have to understand that there might be something we're doing to prevent people from seeing Jesus, the tight crowd. I don't know how the disciples missed that. And then some physical limitations to the people we're trying to reach. And then the discretion that's necessary in these encounters. So you know what Zacchaeus did? He was short. He was vertically challenged. So what he did, saw the tree up ahead. Saw the march of Jesus and company. Calculated it, ran to the tree, climbed up on the tree before the crowd could get in there, and secured himself to be able to have a good view of Jesus without drawing any attention. The provision of a tree. The tree, as you can tell, sycamore, is bushy. So you can actually go up there in the tree and kind of hide yourself. It's a good place to do hide and seek. So you just sit there and wait for the parade of people, no? And I don't think that Zacchaeus wanted to call on Jesus when he passes by, because again, he wasn't trying to draw attention. People don't like his kind. But you know what Jesus did here in the passage? It says here, the passage says, Jesus, verse 5, came to the place. So he was walking like this. He came to the tree, and then he looked up. And he saw Zacchaeus for the first time. Can you imagine that? That's a powerful passage. And he looked up. Many of you here may probably are guests today, this morning. And you might be asking, what's the message of First Baptist Church? The one single message of this church and the one that we continually preach is that Jesus is looking up for you. He has seen you. Even though you feel that you have hidden from everything and tried to hide from the veneer of wealth, of contentment, or whatever, God has seen you, and He has found you now, today. And we want you to open your heart to Him. Because Jesus will not miss anybody. He said, every knee, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. He is working on each one of us here, even right now. And He's looking to us. He is paying attention to what is going on. And so, when Jesus caught that moment, Zacchaeus and Jesus, for the very first time, eyeballed each other. And I can imagine the scenery. The crowd suddenly stopped, and they're wondering, what the stop? Why is it? What are we stopping for? And then they saw Jesus looking up. Everybody looked up, of course. And who did they found? That tax collector, the guy who has very negative reputation. And so probably they were standing there and saying, okay, let's see what Jesus will say. Maybe He would condemn this person to the eternal fires of hell. And Jesus would say, if I was Jesus, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of guy that will never see heaven. I don't want you to be like him, okay? You guys following me, you're good. This one, bad. Don't imitate him. Jesus didn't say any condemnatory statement. He looked up, and maybe Zacchaeus blushed at this moment, and he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. Hurry, come down, because I'm going to your house. Today, the disciples were wondering, what do you mean today? Because verse 1 says, he was just passing through. So they're just going through. So maybe the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, look at your planner. It's not in the plan. Move along, move along. We can't have any delay. Americans don't want to be delayed. Move on. And so here we are, Jesus saying, I want you to come down. I'm going to go to your house today, and we're not just going to have chit-chat. We're going to sit down, and we're going to have full dinner. Right after this service, you'll have dinner. Sit down and enjoy each other's company. So Herod came down, received him joyfully. Jesus caught this moment. And sometimes in missions, it doesn't have to be a formal missionary being ushered into the jungles of Congo and an elaborate ceremony taking place. No, it can be right happening right at Safeway today after church when somebody steals your parking space. And you say, Jesus loves you, brother, for stealing my space. And not showing a long face because someone has done an one-upmanship on you. No? But these moments have to be captured and secured. And you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm in a hurry, but this person needs to talk. Give me wisdom so I can say what I need to say. That is very important, the point of catching the moment. When they saw this, some people grumbled. Why does he have to go with this kind of people? And this murmuring, that always happens in missions. Because again, as I told you, many of us carry implicit bias, you know, to certain types of people. Some people we have sometimes practically given up on. But Jesus has not given up on anybody. No one is within his grasp. And that's why Jesus is saying to the people then when he took Zacchaeus, this may be the greatest sinner according to you, but I love him. I look to him. I look up to him. And I'm going to spend some time with him. So this murmuring sometimes takes place. Don't let it bother you, this murmuring that happens, because it's always like that when we do work for the Lord. There's intrigues and some questions that are being raised, no? even in the mission field. And many of you have heard that. And so in verse 8, it says there, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods to the poor. So how much percent is that? 50%. I'll probably suggest to Pastor Jake that next Sunday, the tithe is now 50%. Where did you get that? From the passage. I'm not making it up. How come there's a 50% here? Is it going to the missions committee? No, it's going to the poor even. Oh my goodness. Wow, how did that happen? What a realization that for Zacchaeus to make that kind of a sweep realization. Well, I can imagine what happened here because verse 8 said, Zacchaeus stood up. So I tell my Bible students, what was Zacchaeus doing before he stood up? Oh, he was sitting down. Of course, you can't stand up if you're not sitting. Well, what were they doing? Well, he was sitting down. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house to have dinner with you. So they were sitting down. And this is no longer in the Bible, folks. Okay? I'm trying to imagine what happened here because this is a dramatic 50% turnaround of the bank account. This is something stupendous, no? So Jesus was sitting down with Zacchaeus, and he turned to Zacchaeus after finishing the meal, almost dessert time. And he said to Zacchaeus, you know, Zacchaeus, that's the first time that I found a guy on top of a tree. First time in my ministry. And Zacchaeus kind of looked, just blushing, and, you know, he was 4 feet 11. And he said, you know, Jesus, the food, there's so much food here, it's all you can eat. I have servants all over, and there's the porch there and wonderful cars out there. I have everything, but I sleep at night, and something bothers me. I heard about you, and I wanted to touch base with you, but you know I'm short. I can't see you. Crowd always thick. And so I was desperate. I climbed the tree. And when I saw you, I knew what was missing. And Jesus hugged him at that point. And then he said to Jesus, Jesus, what do I do? And Jesus said, you know, you've been reading the scripture. I know you've been searching. Yeah, it says there to help the poor all the time. And yes, it is a constant refrain in the Old Testament to take care of the poor. That's when Zacchaeus stood up. And he said, 50% of my bank account at U.S. Bank to the poor. And then those who I have defrauded, four times I repay. Now, do the math. Folks, do the math. How much is left? It's very little. That means now that Zacchaeus is giving everything for his life's continuation of his life to the hands of Jesus. This is true conversion. And so Jesus said to him, you know, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that who is lost. The declaration of Jesus that a person has been found. That's what mission is all about. People are hiding around us, folks, under the veneer of contentment and supposedly joy. But actually, at night, they feel restless, perturbed, disturbed, depressed even. We need to be aware and be discerning of the moment that is before us. And so there's three mission mandates that I want you to leave with you this morning. First of all is, again, the realization that people around us are aching. They're not showing it to us. Who wants to show it? Especially in this culture, everyone wants to look like they've got it made. But even don't let the big house or the flashy cars or the achievements of these friends of yours fool you that they got it all together. Something is missing, terribly missing. And so we need to see and note that people around us are quietly searching. They may look indifferent, but they're searching and they're looking. The way to connect with them is to capture the moment, okay? Because there's the encounter moment, and it doesn't happen when you and I plan it. It just happens. And so it's very important that you and I are ready for it when it happens, okay? It's like a eureka moment. But if we are in tune to that, moment by moment possibility, wow, something big is going to happen, you know? And I know some of you have had those experiences, shared, not even mentioned the word Jesus to people, but spoke to them a word of kindness, encouragement, and people were able to breathe better because of it. Those are starting points as a mandate. And another mandate that we'd like to leave with you is that we need to see if we are the way or in the way for others to see Jesus. You know, this business of bringing others to the saving knowledge of Jesus is the work of God. It's primarily His work. He's just making us do it as His instruments. Sometimes we say too much, and that's the problem. We tend to be preachy. And that's why I have a relative who said, oh, I can't even win my friend. I always open the Bible to him, and he just doesn't want to listen. I said, maybe it's time to close the Bible and to be quiet, because you need to be able to listen to them first before you will earn the right to be heard. Are you really genuinely interested with these people? And sometimes we can be in the way of Jesus seeing these people. We can be part of that crowd that kind of just stays with Jesus but are not interested to pull people in to the group. No? So we need to be aware of that. See if that is happening. And then it starts, of course, it starts, the third mandate, by looking at the situation outside. In other words, we open our life for others. We say to the Lord, Lord, in whatever capacity, use me. That's very, very important. So, what do we do now beginning Monday morning, in the sermon, after listening and after being here in Mission Sunday? First of all, I'd like us to have that mindfulness, that discerning prayer outlook, that moment of silence we can carve on each of our day to just quiet our spirit and listen, to be able to listen to God and what God is doing right now in front of you, okay? He's doing a lot around the world, but right in front of you, there's something He's doing. It could even be a ministry to your very own children, your neighbor, or even your office mate. You don't even need to cross the seas, although some of you, I'm sure, will be going to missions someday. But missions is right here, no? But it starts with a moment of silence to say to the Lord, Lord, let me find these people who are quietly searching. Let me create the time for them, even though I am so busy and I'm just hitting hard on my planner so I can complete the tasks of the day, to be interrupted so that you can use me for your glory and for your honor. Oh God, help me to do that. No. And then second is to see the need, locate that need in front of you. Many of us can't look past our nose. And it's that kind of self-preservation is kind of instinctive. It's God-given, you know. We want to preserve ourselves. So that if someone shouts fire, we're the first one to the exit, right? But there are certain people who will try to organize the exit. You know? These are the people who have made the ship, instant ship. Even if I die, it doesn't matter. I want to save these people, you know? Because my life, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I will lead the way. It's very, very important that we do that. And then finally, what we need to do is to step up in faith for God's deployment. Now, many of you will say, I will never be able to be a missionary. I cannot even stand in front of a crowd. I cannot talk. I cannot articulate. I cannot enunciate. Sometimes I'm just tongue-tied and could not speak a word. I want to tell you that if you cannot speak a word, you're probably the best candidate that God can use. Let me tell you why. Because our hero here in this story is not even the disciples. None of them got it. But the sycamore tree, he was standing there. If there was no sycamore tree in this story, we don't have a story. There was no way for Zacchaeus and Jesus to meet. And if we ask the sycamore tree, wow, you're the most valuable player in this game, I heard. And he's being interviewed. Can you say anything about your most valuable player status? The sycamore says, I can't speak. I'm a tree. Really, you're a tree. How did God use you? What kind of ability do you have? I was just a tree. I was just me. My goodness, I wish we could get that. Guys, folks, you can be used by God. You are enough. There's no special ability. The only thing you and I can do this morning is to just stand up for His deployment. And if this morning you would say that to God and say, God, I don't know if it can be done, but here am I. I'm standing here. You use me. Use me this week. Use me in the coming days. And you know what Jesus will say? I can make the stones speak for me. I can make the trees clap their hands to worship me. I can use this. Of course I can use you. And the Lord will bring about His gospel message fulfilling the message of the prophets that said, the earth, and here's a very strong vision for all missionaries, and all of us are missionaries now. Here's your vision as you file out today from the sanctuary. The earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You are with the winning team. Continue to spread the word of the Lord. Amen.